Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
J. Dill and Dr. Lamar.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, 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 hey.
Two wise women. J. Dill. Yeah. Two wise women.
You know
Dr. Lamar. Two wise women. You better pay attention.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the show. We are Two Wise Women. I am J. Dia.
And I am Dr. Lamar with The Wives, Inc.
And we want to welcome you to the show this morning. Thank you for being here with us. We have a very great show ahead of us. But before we get started, I want to bring up a question with you, Dr. Lamar. I want your input on this. I was working with someone, and so I'm just going to give you the scenario, and then I'm going to give you the three multiple choice options. So on Tuesday, Marcus lost his job, and when his wife found out that evening, she wanted to make him feel better. So which of the three options do you think would make him feel better? So the first option is, why in the world would they let you go? You're a hard worker, and for the past 2 years, you've been nothing but loyal. I am so upset that they don't realize how much you've done for them. Now, option B is, I'm so sorry they let you go. I know how hard this is for you. What are we going to do? Is there anything I can do to help? And option C is, I don't know why they let you go. I know you. I've watched you solve problems that I didn't think were fixable. I don't know how you'll fix this, but I know you will. I trust you, and trust me, I know these things because I'm your wife. What do you think, Dr. Lamar?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Was he fired? Was it a forced resignation, or was he laid off?
It doesn't say. He just lost his job. Let's just stick with the losing the job, because at the end of the day, he just lost his job. He ain't employed.
Yeah, that is true, but I think it does depend on, you know, those three things. However, I would go with option C. I don't know why they let you go, you know, and I would encourage him and affirm him and just let him know that I support him, that I love him, and that I know that he was, you know, doing a good job and that he would find another job soon. So just to kind of be supportive of him.
You're right. All three options are good, but number C is the better one, because what you're doing is, as you just said, you're showing your support in him, you're showing your belief in him, and your confidence and his ability to fix the problem, and you're reminding him that you are seeing it as a problem, and for a man, a problem has a solution. So thereby, that's all he needs to know, that you trust him, and thereby he's trusting in you, like he's now falling on your word, and that gives him courage, and it also opens his heart and has him see the partnership, because that's how you also begin to create partnerships. But I want to talk a little more about the other, when you were saying that it depends on what happened. And did he lose his job in terms of being fired? Was he downsized? And I'm wondering how do those options weigh into the response, Dr. Lamar?
Yeah, you know, and thank you for bringing that back up. I honestly think it depends on if it was negligence of his own, or if they was just downsizing, or if the company decided to go an entirely different way. And so I think that matters. If it was a downsize and a lot of people were affected, I would still go with option C by still being very supportive, but also having some other conversations around, well, what do you want to do now? What are some of your goals, or what is it that you're interested in, or how are you feeling, or what are your thoughts about what took place? And just kind of checking in with him about how he's feeling and what he's thinking and so on and so forth. Now, if it was forced, again, it almost goes back to the layoff. There's pretty much nothing you can do about it. But if he was fired because he was slacking, or he was fired because he had done something that was inappropriate or insubordinate, again, I would still be supportive, but we definitely would have some conversation around what actually happened and what did he learn, or what could he have done different, you know, what he'll do differently the next time.
Okay. Thank you for that additional input. Well, listeners, next on the third Friday, we will have the opportunity to have other wives on our show to answer similar type questions. So make sure you tune in all the juicy good tips that we will be providing. So now I want to take this moment to introduce our special guest. Karima Hadi is a feng shui expert, interior decorator, spiritual teacher, and empowerment coach. For the past 20 years, she has provided feng shui consultations for individuals and business owners to amplify all the good things in their life, such as greater health, harmony, love, prosperity, and success. Today, she will be sharing feng shui tips to attract and or create the passionate romantic relationship you've always wanted. So I want to welcome Karima to the show.
Yay.
We need hand claps.
Oh, I know we do. And is she live? Dr. Lamar?
She is live.
Hello.
Okay, there we go.
I'm live?
Yes, you're live. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies. I am so happy and excited to be with you, and I want to thank you for having me on your show. I love it, and I agree. You are definitely two wise women. So I'm going to tell you just a little bit about what feng shui is so that everybody knows what we're talking about. It's an ancient Chinese art and science creating and managing energy in your home or in your business, and it causes us in our homes, our families, and business owners to have an environment that's conducive to all of us being more healthy, prosperous, happy, successful, everything that we all want. One of the really impressive things about feng shui to me is that it goes back over 4,000 years. And it's literally, when it's translated literally, it means wind and water. So you could say that it's the science of managing energy, because everything, absolutely everything, is energy.
Wow, that's interesting. Everything is energy. So Dr. Lamar says I use that word energy all the time, and I'm not even present to the fact that I use that word energy all the time. So are you saying that feng shui can be used to direct energy and work with negative energy and positive energy and all of that stuff?
I'm saying all of that and more. And the reason I say that is that there's a constant interaction of energy between us and our environments, whether it be our home or where we work. And it's extremely important for our health and how successful we are in every area of our life, really, including, you know, our subject today, talking about relationships, but it also influences our money and our prosperity, creativity, every life area. So when we use feng shui principles, we can eliminate or minimize negative energy and create or increase the positive energy that will support us. Does that make sense?
Okay, I have a question. That makes a lot of sense. But I have a question for us lay people like Jay Dia mentioned, she's always talking about energy and she's always talking about healing. And I think sometimes when you don't have certain trainings or certain knowledge about certain things, sometimes people can compartmentalize those words to me what they kind of want them to mean. So, Karima, I would love for you to just tell me, what is energy? When you say energy, what are you referring to as it relates to your teachings for today?
Boy, I love that question, Dr. Lamar. Thank you. There are so many answers to it. But for our purposes here, when I talk about energy, I'm talking really the basis of it is it's our life force. And it is the essence of everything. So energy, we are energy and our environment, everything that we can see and touch and experience, there's that interaction between us and our environment and the things that are in it. But then there's also energy that is our thoughts, our words, sounds, and we have to look at the influence that these things have on us. And if you stop and think for a moment, you'll realize that the most significant energy in an environment or in our life, if you will, are our thoughts and the words that we speak, either to ourselves or to others. And we are creating our lives according to the thoughts and beliefs that we have. So it's not just, the feng shui isn't just looking at the energy that's in our environment and how it impacts us, because, you know, we're talking about the five elements that we go into, you know, it's more than I would discuss in this format, but we're talking about color, we're talking about lighting, but in spite of the influence, the important influence of those things, I always try to tell my clients that our thoughts are even more important, because in order to be open to this positive energy that gives us greater health and success, we've got to think in positive kinds of ways. And we've also got to believe that we're worthy of what it is that we're creating for ourselves. You know, it's a topic that I could really talk a lot about, but does that more or less answer your question, or is there another way I can make it more clear?
Oh, no, that was great. That was a really good explanation about energy, that it's everywhere. It's in everything that we do, the way that we communicate, the way that we interact with each other, be it positive or negative. So that was great. And so that gives me a better idea when you're talking about the feng shui and when you refer to energy, what energy is. So thank you. Thank you, Kareem.
You know, you're very welcome. But let me also say this so that everybody can relate to it. We are really intuitive beings. Although feng shui is a 4,000-year-old science, and we have within us an intuition that lets us know right away when we're in an environment whether or not it feels good. And that is the first thing that we need to always pay attention to. What is our intuition telling us, either about our own personal spaces or other places that we might go to? And be conscious that what it is that we're feeling in those spaces is impacting us either in a positive or a negative kind of way.
Gotcha.
That's very good to always be mindful of, is the energy that we are, that we're always feeling energy, that is always there. And thank you for that question, Dr. Lamar, because you're right, it does clear it up and give lay people an understanding of what it is that we mean when we say energy, because we're not referring to the energy that comes through your outlet, even though that is a form of energy, but everything is energy, and that we are vibrating at different levels of energy. Now, I want to tie this back in to what we're talking about today. So all of this really does make a lot of sense. And I think most of us want to have better luck in our romantic and love department. So what I want to talk about is how to utilize the energy, Karima and Dr. Lamar, to create this passionate romantic relationship that we're looking for, and even sex, because they tie together. They're not exclusive. They are, and I don't want to digress. But anyway, before we get started, Karima, what's the first thing we should consider when it comes to using feng shui?
Well, let's see. How would I answer that? The first thing to consider,
especially if you're talking about today, the tips that you're going to be giving us.
Okay. Today, because of the format that we're using and we're not looking at anybody's personal spaces, I'm going to talk about some things that would be in general and how you could make some powerful changes in your bedroom right now, even with these few tips. But I have to tell you that feng shui is very, very personal, and it gets very specific. And so in order to really help somebody with their love life, whether it be an existing relationship or bringing in a relationship, I would need to do an individual consultation for them. But what I'm hoping today is that these general tips will make a difference as well. So,
so then that will get us started then. So our listeners need to understand that what you're giving are just some tips, and that they would need an individualized consultation to really get the maximal benefit.
Correct.
So then I want to say, why the bedroom then? And not the kitchen, because most people spend a lot of time in the kitchen. It's where we cooking takes place. And I know when I hang out with my family, we're always sitting in the kitchen and talking, mm-hmm. socializing. So I'm just going to leave it there. Why the bedroom over the kitchen or any other room at that matter?
Okay. All of the rooms are important. And according to feng shui, every room in our floor plan relates to a certain life area. But our bedroom, the most important room in my opinion, and actually because when you think about its purpose, it is most important. This is the room in our home where we replenish our energy on every level. And so ideally, in the bedroom, there's only two activities that should be going on in the bedroom. One is to get rest and replenish ourselves, like I said, and the other one is to enjoy our sexual lives. Anything else that we want to do can and should be done in another room. So that's why it's most important.
Okay, so the resting and the procreating. So we just sleeping and having sex and nothing else. What do you think about that, Dr. Lamar?
You know what? I'm over here on pause. I'm like, you know what? I think I can understand. I totally 100% understand that the bedroom is created for what it's created for. But when you've been married for a long time, you have to get creative. And I don't know. So if you get busy in the kitchen and the bathroom, in the hallway, in the laundry room, are you messing up the feng shui?
So, Dr. Lamar, let me see if I understand your question. Are you saying that if you get busy in the other room, is the feng shui of that room also important? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, so let me, that is what I just said, but I saw that I'm clear. Are you saying that you should only have sex in the bedroom? If you didn't say that, then my question isn't valid.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think that sex, since it's such an important part of our health and our happiness, really, that we should always be open to experimenting with the atmosphere, any other place that might be fun for us, you know, providing we've got the privacy that we need and there aren't any children and, you know, there's a whole lot of parameters. But I'm not at all saying that the bedroom is the only place to enjoy sex. No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. Let me ask this. Let me get clear. So let me ask you this, Karima. If you have sex in other places, are you compromising and feng shui in the other rooms, like the kitchen, the table, the refrigerator? I'm just asking.
Well, let's see. Depends by what you mean with the word compromise. I would say that if you're going to have sex in the kitchen, you know, on the table, for example, that like that commercial on television where the wife comes home and she sees the husband changing the baby's diaper on the countertop, that you make sure that you wash and clean off the kitchen table appropriately. So,
but outside of that, we're good.
Pardon me?
Outside of that, we're good.
We're good, yes.
Okay. So let's get back to the bedroom, because that was good, though, because we do want our listeners to know that we're not saying just stay in the bedroom. Like, move it around, yeah, because we think that's creating happy energy, good energy within the home, and especially within the body and within the relationship. But when you say those are the only two things that should be happening in the bedroom, what are some of the things that you've seen people do in the bedroom that would be, and I'm doing air quotations, bad feng shui, and why?
Okay. Primarily, it's any kind of work activity or making the space for something else other than what we're talking about, resting and romance. Anything that would detract from that. So let me give you an example. A lot of people, different clients that I've worked with, maybe because they find it more convenient, but a lot of people will have a desk, their computer, all kinds of work materials, books, you name it, in their bedroom. And this is the last thing that you want in your bedroom for a lot of different reasons. One of the things that I can tell people right now that would make a big, big difference that's very common is that a very big common detract romance and rest in a bedroom is clutter. For example, a lot of people, because we're busy, you know, and maybe it's just a bad habit, but there would be piles of clothing, for example, on a chair or on the floor.
Oh,
that need to.
I done messed up my feng shui.
You and a whole lot of other people. But let me tell you, Dr. Lamar, why you want to give that attention and correct it, and anybody else that's got this situation going on, is that when you have a pile of clothing on the floor, on the chair, wherever, that either needs to be hung up, and you intend to do that, or taken to the laundry room, there's two reasons that this is negative or how it impacts you negatively. First of all, clutter's bad energy anywhere that it exists in your home because it gives off its own negative energy. So it's giving you something that you don't want. That's the first thing. And the second reason that it's not good energy is that it's taking up the space where positive energy could exist. You know, the space where the energy is flowing and is able to be uplifted. So anyone out there in your listening audience that has some clutter issues, particularly start in the bedroom, start developing the habit of hanging up your clothes or taking them to the laundry right away. Don't leave in your bedroom. And think about it. Is your bedroom inviting to you? If you go into it and there's clutter all over the place, do you want to go in there? And for that matter, how sexy and romantic can you feel in a cluttered bedroom? Not very, can you?
You know, that is
That is an excellent point, and I 100% agree with you. And not to put my business in the street, but I'll just have to be more intentional because, unfortunately, that's pretty much where I lay myself. Sometimes it's packed or stacked up in a chair in my room. And so I'll have to be more intentional. But it doesn't seem like that affects him. But, again, I could be wrong because I haven't really paid any attention to it, but I definitely will be more cognizant about the clutter in my room. So, yeah, thanks for sharing. That was good.
And Dr. Lamar, let me say this real quick too. You're right. It probably doesn't impact your husband all that much in the sense that he doesn't get stopped by a lot of things, or men don't. I want to say that don't generally get stopped by a lot of things when it comes to sexual intimacy, and so it's not so much that he would get stopped. But it's how much more freely expressed and great could he feel and contribute if the energy was better there. That's the one part. And then it's because this relationship, this sexual intimacy, is both you and him. It's without that clutter, you're going to feel a lot more joyful and expressive, you know. So you want to look at it that way. You're right. It probably doesn't influence him negatively, you know. But you know, as the two of you talk about, you know, we men and women have different approaches to a lot of things. So does that help a little bit? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying it helped a lot. I think I wanted to crack a joke, and I was debating in my head if I was going to crack the joke because you were saying I should, you know, clean up the clutter to kind of shift the energy. But then my energy is probably going to drop after I clean up all that mess in the chair. So I'm definitely going to take it into consideration. I'm definitely going to take it into consideration to make sure that I straighten up the mess before it's time for me to do anything that I need to do to keep the feng shui going in my room.
Great. Yeah, and I think what I'm hearing is that it needs to be ongoingly. Like, because for me, I have a chair, and when I come in, I, you know, put my clothes over that chair. And at the end of the week, that chair can get kind of full. And what I'm learning is, as you're saying, as I'm undressing, hang it up or put it in the dirty clothes or put it in a bag that's going to the cleaners. So thereby that space is available, because one of the things I will do is I'll pile my clothes on the floor so that as I'm preparing to wash clothes. And if I don't get to all the loads, then there, you know, I can have a load or two on the floor. So now that I'm hearing that's taking up positive energy and it creates. So I'm going to be more cognitive as well of my space because I take it for granted. I'm not currently in a relationship, so if that's blocking a relationship, then I definitely don't want to do anything to block that man to show up. I want to ask you something else, Karima. Because one of the things, I love artwork, and I have a nice little collection of art. And I'm just wondering, how important is that in terms of my pictures? And is there a particular style to artwork that I should consider putting in my bedroom versus putting other places? Because I'm looking at some of the art that I have, and I'm wondering, where should I put it, or do I need to rearrange it?
Okay, that's a really good question, JD, and the reason that I say that is that art, whether it be paintings, wall hangings, sculptures, whatever it is very powerful energy. You've got the energy of the person who created it. You've got the energy of what it depicts, you know, the subject matter of it, the colors of it. It's very important. And so when you say what kind of artwork should you put where? That would be part of what I would help you do with the consultation, because all the different areas on your floor plan, they represent and they relate to the various areas of our life, such as our wealth and our prosperity and our career, our romance, our sex life. And so specifically in regard to the bedroom, and the part of your floor plan that relates to the love and relationship area should have artwork that depicts love, that depicts happy relationships. And color would be important, but the subject matter is even more important. And so let me give you an idea. I had a client, beautiful young woman, not too long ago, who is wanting to get into a new relationship. And so when I was doing her consultation, I noticed in her very large bedroom that she had four pictures, paintings, very beautifully framed. These were expensive, beautiful pictures, but they were all of women. And so I explained to her that in her bedroom, these pictures of women, although they were very beautiful, that they were giving off an energy that she was if she were gay, they would have been very appropriate. And even better if they were women, two women, you know, in some kind of romantic embrace. But she wasn't gay, and she wanted to attract a man into her life. So I explained to her that she needed to remove these pictures of women from her bedroom. Now, they would have been very appropriate in other specific places of her home, but not in her bedroom, and that she should put instead a picture or pictures, plural, men and women, something that gave off this tasteful, sensual kind of energy, romantic energy. And so it was really funny. We laughed a lot about it at the time. And about 2-3 weeks later, when we were talking and she was giving me feedback, she said that she had taken the pictures of the women down and put them in some other places, and she had put up at least one, but she was still working on it, of a couple, you know, romantic couple. And she said she went to a networking event that weekend, and she met a guy that she felt had a lot of potential. So we were really pleased with that, because this is what she wants to do. She wants to bring a man into her life. So does that give you a feel for the importance of it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad that you mentioned that. And I also want to take this moment to have our listeners press 1 if you want to, or if you have a question for our feng shui expert today, Karima Hadi. I'm glad that you talked about artwork, because I'm thinking, especially in the bedroom, because I'm thinking I will probably need to get you out and have you look at some of my stuff. And even for my business, I think that I have a lot of artwork here in my business, in my office, because it's important to me. And I want to see if I'm choosing the right energetic flow to increase prosperity. And even for my clients, when they show up, I want them to have a sense of comfort. Because as a therapist, what I'm creating is an environment for them to trust me and be comfortable enough to talk with me, and so that I can help them. So I believe that what you're talking about, that energy will also influence how my clients show up and how they feel within the space.
Absolutely, because when I work with business owners, the principles are still the same. The energetic principles are still the same, you know, looking at a yin and yang balance, the five elements, what kind of activity is going on in what area of their floor plan. But the goal when I do a business rotation is to look at what are the goals and objectives of that business. What's their customer base? You've got a client base, a customer base, if you will, of people that you're giving counseling to. And so there's going to be a different kind of atmosphere that you want to create so that they feel most comfortable, so that you attract more clients that need your service. And it's going to be very different, for example, than a chiropractor's office or an accounting office. Or I did a very, very large business consultation.
Karima, I want to bring you, I'm sorry, because I went down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, you did.
Let me bring you back. Come back, come back.
But
that's good to know, and that's good for our listeners to know that you also do business consultation. And listeners, if you have a question, please press 1 to get into our queue, and we'll get you in, and you can talk and ask Karima, or if you have a comment. The other thing I want to talk about, are there any other things that we need to be aware of in the bedroom? Because that's what the show is about, how to create that passion, that romance, and that is starting in the bedroom. So is there anything else that we need to be cognitive of besides
yes.
Okay.
And let me say one more thing about the artwork. Because this is something that I see a lot of people doing as well. I have another client, and again, well, I don't know what is. Well, women are very drawn to feng shui anyway, and a lot of women are single, and it's about how do I bring a relationship into my life. And this one particular client had a very nice bedroom, very serene, terrific for rest. She didn't have a desk in there, no TV, no computer, but she had two problems, big problems with her bedroom. One is that she didn't have anything in there, basically, that gave off any energy that invited romance, yet she wanted romance in her life. And the second thing was she had a really beautiful 4x5 foot framed picture of her spiritual teachers direct on the wall, directly across from her bed. So when she went to sleep at night, she could or she would look at them, and I guess the point of her putting them there was so that she'd feel nourished spiritually. Big problem, folks, because your master bed, your bedroom, is not the place for that kind of picture, no matter how beautiful it is. And there's a specific area in your home that is very appropriate for that kind of picture. But I want to tell people that in your bedroom, you don't want to have any religious pictures or statues, any kind of religious or art at all in your bedroom, because it does not create an atmosphere of open, uninhibited, passionate sexual intimacy. The same thing is going to go for pictures of your parents, your grandparents, your children, your wedding pictures or pictures of you and your partner doing something. That's a whole different thing. That's the kind of pictures, if you want to put pictures, that are appropriate there. But generally, you please shy away from that and stick to the romantic or tastefully sensuous pictures.
I'm sorry, I got a joke. I'm like Dr. Lamar. No pictures of your parents. I'm reminded of the movie, I think it was A Rage in Harlem with Robin Givens and and his mother was over the bed and she took it and she turned it down. No, he turned it over like, sorry, Mom.
You're right. I remember that movie. It was so funny. But that demonstrates the point exactly, JD. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I think it has a lot to do with our conditioning and the culture that we're raised in. So just make it simple. Are you interested? Did you want me to tell you a couple of other things you want to avoid in the master bedroom?
Let me see what Dr. Lamar is percolating on over there, because that is a And that's a brilliant mind over there. So
okay.
I just want to know what's going on, Dr. Lamar, because we're talking all this energy.
So I'm going to be honest. When she mentioned the picture about God in the room, now I don't have a picture of God in the room, but my first thoughts were, why wouldn't it be good to have a picture of God? Because if you're married and then the bedroom is undefiled, and sometimes as a wife or a husband, when you're working, you know, 40 to 60 to 70 hours, sometimes you need God to look at God and be like, Jesus, please give me the strength to entertain my husband, entertain my wife. But I can see, you know, you got a picture of God, you end up being, well, it's not really being inappropriate, but it's like, oh, Lord, God looking at me. But you know what? The picture is not necessarily God looking at you. He could be just looking at you in the room. So anyway, that was going on in my mind. But honestly, I can see how, you know, not having your mama in the room or your daddy or your children. But honestly, I was going to say something about not having God on the wall, but I don't know if that would be a good idea either. But it may help some people, but maybe not. I don't know. So those are just my thoughts. But this is very interesting, and I'm curious to know. I know we have a lot of callers that are listening into the show, and I am so curious to know what are some of the thoughts about some of the things that Ms. Karima has mentioned about things you want to have in the bedroom, or is there anyone on the line that that has a picture of God in the room, and has that ever been distracting? Or if you have a picture of your mom or your dad or your children in the room, if that's been distracting to you, I would love for you to press 1 and let us get you in to give a comment or just to give some feedback on your thoughts about this energy and this feng shui.
Yeah, that would be good to know what are our listeners hearing, and is it resonating with them, and do they have a question for the feng shui expert? Because she is very good. 20-plus years, that's really awesome. So while we're waiting to see if anyone wants to press 1, is there anything else, Karima, that we should be aware of in the bedroom? Like let me just say this. We have about 8 to 10 minutes left in the show. So with that being said, Karima, what else should we be aware of when it comes to romance and passion and good sex?
Okay. One of the things that is easy to do is to think about the colors that you're using in your master bedroom. There are certain colors, the energy of certain colors, that are more conducive to romance and rest and sexual intimacy than others. Generally, it's it's shades of red, white, pastels. You want to make let me deal with the reds first. There's a whole spectrum of the color red. You've got very deep reds. Some reds are even murky, and so, of course, you'd want to stay away from something like that. And then a lot of people like burgundy, and I don't have any problem with burgundy. Just pay attention to the difference of how burgundy, for example, or a very deep red makes you feel compared to a rose, for example. And the aim is to think about what is going to, color-wise, give off the energy that is creates a really romantic atmosphere. And I know that men have a tendency to lean toward darker reds, you know, because, a darker red is more passionate, for example, than a rose. However, a man could be thinking, oh, yeah, that's what I want. I want a lot of great passion. And so do we women. The problem is, men don't typically need color to feel passionate. Women, on the other hand, we're very much influenced, more so by our environment. So if a man, whether he be single or if he's in a relationship, married, if he can be supportive of his partner, creating this atmosphere, go towards the romantic colors. Make things sensuous, luscious.
I want to interrupt you because I do know everyone doesn't like red. And so are you saying that now that I need – so tell me, how can I incorporate red? Because I like red. But for those who don't care for red, how can you incorporate red subtly into the – that color into the room without going, ooh, red, no, I'm running in the opposite direction. Or we have this connotation about red sometimes. So,
right. You don't have to use red. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that red is the color that represents love, passion, more so than other colors. But red is a significant color for a lot of different things. People can use white, shades of white. You know, there's a whole range of that. But pastel, violet is a pretty color to use in a romantic kind of way. Rose, a pale green. When you look at a color, that intuition that I was telling you, a color is going to evoke an emotion in you. So what I'm saying is be sensitive to color. That's an easy way to help create what you want, because when you think about it, the colors on the wall, the colors of the bedding, you know, that makes a big energy statement when you're looking at your room. You want to think about the kind of accessories that you have. You want, if you're looking for a relationship, whether you're looking for one or you're already in one, there should be duplicates of things, because that represents couples. So you want to have two nightstands, and you want to have two lights, and you want to, for a single woman, all right, with all those beautiful clothes in your closet, make some space and have it empty. Put a few hangers up there waiting for that man to come into your life so that he's got some place to hang his clothes. There are so many things. I feel a little tongue-tied trying to talk about it.
So let me interrupt you. And Dr. Lamar, what do you think about this color?
You know what? I'm excited that she shifted to the colors, because I was trying to figure out how I was going to segue into that. When I was one of my mentors, and his name is Dr. Saprina, which is a phenomenal man. I'm, you know, grateful for all that he's helped me with. But he's into this feng shui stuff. And when I defended for my dissertation, he was telling me that colors are so significant and people don't pay enough attention to it. And because they don't pay attention to it, they find themselves in depressed or groggy moods. And he said he was working with this lady and had a really good job, and she continued to kind of stay in this depressed state. And he was working with her and working with her and working with her. And he said finally he just did a visit to her house, of course, with her permission. And when he went to her house, her room, her bedroom, and her favorite room were, it was her room of Zen. It was like an olive green, like an army olive green. And he said immediately, this is probably what is contributing to your depressed mood. And it wasn't until she kind of came home and she couldn't understand, you know, when she came home, and I was thinking in my head, really, is it really the paint? And he said immediately they changed the color in the room, and her mood began to shift. And I was like, is it really that serious? But this is another thing. When I went to defend that morning, now, I'm a Delta, and so I love red, and I look good in red. But I also look really, really good in pink. And the dress that I had on when I went to defend was in pink. And he asked me, he said, Natasha, you look really nice and really bright. Why did you decide to wear pink? Was it for the energy? And, of course, I am not, you know, 100% aggressive. You know, I'm sorry.
I said, and that's
so
the energy.
I was not sure.
Say, what'd you say, Jadia?
I was cracking a joke, sorry.
Yeah. Don't crack jokes in the middle of my story. But
he was asking me about the pink, and he was telling me what pink represented, that it represented a lot of positive energy and excitement. And I mean, he went on and on and on about the pink. And I was like, wow, I really didn't know that, and a lot of my stuff is pink. So I think sometimes we do it unconsciously, but I think when we're, it's almost like that saying, you do better when you know better, when you are aware that certain colors contribute to positivity and happiness and positive energy and so on and so forth, that we could be more intentional about wearing those positive or those bright colors that can bring positive things, and being aware of not having certain things like that green or whatever those dark, gloomy colors in the bedroom, or even wearing them outside. So what are your thoughts about that, Karima?
You know what? That's fantastic that you should say that, and I want to applaud the man who figured out what was going on with that lady. Color is one of the most powerful examples of energy. Businesses, institutions, you know, for example, hospitals, they used to use colors that they thought were soothing, and they were some of the most depressing colors. And there's still some old hospitals, if you will, that have those colors. But you're so correct. Each color has its own specific energy, and it influences our mood big time. So if it's in your master bedroom or a room that you spend a lot of time in, it's going to have an impact on you. I would tell people in general, watch out for the blues and greens. They're beautiful colors depending on the hue, but of all the colors, in my opinion, from decorating and from feng shui, that they are the two colors that shades of those two colors can be so depressing. You've got to, I tell people, pick a happy blue or a happy green. That's easy to remember, because all of us can sort of have a sense of, does that blue make me feel good? Does that green make me feel good? Because if you pick the wrong blue or green, you're really inviting some detrimental energy. And Dr. Lamar, you know, we've talked about it so many times. You need to stop and be still long enough for me to come over there and do that consultation for you, because this is just so much the tip of the iceberg in regard to the benefit of it. We're almost out of time. I want to tell people, remember when I talked about how powerful thoughts are, the energy of our thoughts. They create our lives, as we know.
Karima, can I interrupt?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I want to interrupt you, because I want to give you an opportunity to let people know how to reach you and what's involved in a consultation. So if we can direct your conversation more to that, because this is really wonderful information, and I don't want our callers not to know how to reach you when they need you. So why don't you take a few minutes, and right now you've got like 3 minutes, to share, and be cognizant of the minutes, because we need to make another announcement about how to reach you and what is involved in a consultation.
Okay, I just have to say this for the people. Don't argue in your bedroom. Okay, all right, ooh. I said that. Don't argue in your
bedroom. I told you not to say anything hard-headed.
Okay, all right. When I do a consultation for people, whether it's a residential one or a business one, it's in two parts. There's a pre-consultation where we talk and I sort of interview you, find out what's going on in your life, what are your goals, what do you want to accomplish. I have you give me your floor plan, preferably, because I need to analyze it and apply what we call the Bagua to it. That's an energy map, if you will, of your floor plan that designates the areas that relate your life. You know, what room in your floor plan translates to your wealth and prosperity, because for all of us that's important, and I want to address what's going on in there as well as the other areas. And then I do what I call a personal energy profile based on your birthday, because consultation is extremely specific and personal. Then when I actually come and do the walkthrough with you, I'm prepared, and we go over your floor plan. We talk a lot about what's positive about your floor plan, but then I'm looking for things that might give problems and challenges, create those things in your life for those specific areas. And I give you...
So I'm going to interrupt you because time is ticking out. So it seems as if your consultation is very involved in detail. So let our listeners know how they can reach you so that
okay.
they can schedule this consultation with you.
Okay. My phone number is 336-612-1796. 336-612-1796. And then my email would be 88fengshuifantastic@gmail.com. The name of my business is 88 Feng Shui Fantastic. Let me spell Feng Shui. F-E-N-G Shui S-H-U-I. So it's 88 Feng Shui Fantastic at gmail.com.
All right. Thank you so much for having for being on our show. I want to take this moment to just say this Saturday, Dr. Lamar will be facilitating her monthly two-house skill-building class at the Kirkwood Library from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. And this is a must-attend. She'll be giving away some very important information, some great training for women and men who are in a relationship or wanting to get in a relationship or marriage. She's phenomenal. Please come out and check that out. Also, on August 19th, which is a Wednesday, Dr. Lamar and I will be hosting a free two-hour relationship workshop, which is a co-ed workshop, at my office, which is 2801 Buford Highway, Northeast, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So, Dr. Lamar, is there anything that you would like to add?
I would just like to say I think today was a phenomenal show. Ms. Karini did a wonderful job. We definitely have to bring you back on. I need to get you over to my house and get you over to my office to shift the energy because I need positive energy. And other than that, I look forward to seeing you guys at the Kirkwood Library. You guys can reach me at 404-585-0867. If you have any questions or visit my website at thewivesinc.com. And that's about it. Thank you for joining us, Ms. Karima.
Thank you for having me.
And if you want more information about us, visit our website. As Dr. Lamar said, hers is thewivesinc.com, and I am youareworthy.org, or you can follow us on Twitter at J-Dia Jackson, that's J-A-I-D-E-I Jackson. And Dr. Lamar is at The Wives Inc. And like us on Facebook. I am You Are Worthy, and Dr. Lamar is The Wives Inc. We want to thank you for listening to the show. This show is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. It is not therapy, and thereby should not be considered a substitute for professional counseling. If you are having difficulty in your life and need to speak with someone, please contact the Behavior Health Line hotline at 800-715-4225. We have enjoyed having Karima on our show. She is a feng shui expert. Please reach out to her and get that individualized, personalized feng shui consultation for your home or for your business. She is phenomenal. And Dr. Lamar, take us out.
Okay, guys. We'll see you next week. Hope you guys can click in or tune in. And have a good week.